This month marks the 40th anniversary of the U.S.-backed coup in Chile, which elevated General Augusto Pinochet to power. In 1973, Pinochet and his forces, with crucial help from the CIA, overthrew Chile's democratically elected president, socialist Salvador Allende. Thousands went missing or were killed, and tens of thousands were tortured during Pinochet's 25-year reign. Peter Kornbluh has worked to declassify U.S. government documents which shed light on America's relationship with Pinochet. Kornbluh directs a Chile documentation project at the National Security Archive. He is also the author of the recently reissued book, The Pinochet File, a declassified dossier on atrocity and accountability. Kornbluh starts by laying out the political scene across Latin America before Allende's 1970 election.
You had a number of elected governments in the Southern Cone throughout Latin America. You had kind of dynastic dictatorships in Nicaragua and Paraguay, where Fidel Stroessner ruled. And, of course, you had the famous military coup in 1964 in Brazil, the dominant country in the region. And the Brazilian government actually, much like the U.S. government, was very focused on preventing progressive governments from coming into office around it. It preferred the community of military nations, but at the time of Allende's election, that wasn't the case.
Kissinger claimed that Allende's election posed one of the most serious challenges facing the hemisphere. Could you expand a little on why Kissinger saw this as such a threat from Chile, this election?
The irony of Kissinger writing that statement to President Richard Nixon in November of 1970 is that just the year before, in 1969, he had a conversation with the Chilean foreign minister, Juan Gabriel Valdez, and told him that Chile was a dagger pointed at the heart of Antarctica. In other words, a threat to an iceberg. In other words, really a threat to nothing. Until Allende was elected, there wasn't really an issue. With the exception of the fact that the Chileans throughout the 60s and even the moderate Christian Democrats Party were moving slowly but steadily to nationalizing Chile's copper industry, which was owned by two American corporate giants, Anaconda and Kennecott. Then Allende gets elected. And from one day to the next, Kissinger is lobbying Nixon to undermine, overthrow, destabilize him. Why, as he writes in this extraordinary memo that's in my new book, The Pinochet File, A Declassified Dossier on Atrocity and Accountability, why? Because, among other things, Allende is democratically elected. As Kissinger writes, he has legitimacy, and we can't deny him his legitimacy. And other leaders like him, Socialist Party leaders, will build coalitions with leftist parties in other countries, communist parties, moderately leftist parties, and win democratic elections and will be legitimate. And as Kissinger writes, there will be an insidious model effect of these elections if Allende succeeds. There will be an imitative spread of this phenomena, quote unquote, that might reach as far as the European countries of Italy. And perhaps other countries there, Greece, Spain, France.
And this actually does happen.
Socialists eventually do get elected in those countries. Nothing happens to the NATO alliance, as Kissinger feared. But as he told Richard Nixon at the time, you know, we can't allow Allende to succeed because other countries will get an idea that this is the way to go, and it will shift the balance of power in the world and our position in it.
So the way to get Allende out is a coup, and that's a coup by General Pinochet. So first of all, explain a little bit who Pinochet was.
Well, General Augusto Pinochet Ugarte was, at the time, the commander-in-chief of the Chilean army. He had risen through the ranks. He was actually one of the members of the military branches, the leaders of there was the army, the navy, the Air Force, and the National Police. And he was the leader somewhat least out front of being a coup plotter, but he commanded the most powerful wing of the armed forces, the army itself. he was someone whose name quickly became synonymous with human rights violations, and I would say that whose name, you know, in some ways is kind of more associated with vile human rights crimes than anybody else in the world except for Adolf Hitler.
Chile, a pretty bad place under Pinochet then.
Well, it was, and yeah. Chileans today on the 40th anniversary of the coup are recognizing that in the size and scale of the repression. In some ways was smaller than other countries like Argentina, where there were 30,000 disappeared. But because it was Chile and because of the great clash between the hopes for peaceful change towards more social equality that Allende represented and the extraordinary repression and bloodshed that Pinochet not only oversaw but then represented, Chile became a symbol to the world, much as Franco's Spain in the 40s and 50s was a symbol of repression.
You campaigned for years to declassify government documents relating to the U.S.'s support of Pinochet and their involvement in the coup. What exactly was the U.S.'s involvement in overthrowing Allende and in supporting Pinochet from what you found from the documents that you talk about in your book?
You know, Allende was elected on September 4th, 1970. On September 13th, 1970, weeks before he was actually inaugurated as president or actually stepped foot in the presidential palace, Henry Kissinger basically told the State Department that the decision had been made to foment a coup to actually prevent Allende from being inaugurated. And Richard Nixon instructed the CIA on September 15th, 11 days after the election, to go make the economy scream, quote unquote, to spend more than $10 million or any amount they needed, to give a game plan to Kissinger, who was going to oversee these operations. And the first phase of this effort was actually to keep him from becoming president. They wanted a preemptive strike. He'd never even set foot in office and issued a single decree or policy that would affect the United States. And they were already attempting to overthrow him. And those attempts were quite extraordinary. They included a sinister plot to kidnap the commander-in-chief of the Chilean Armed Forces at the time, General René Schneider, who didn't support a coup. Kissinger and company and the CIA decided they came up with this grand plan. They would kidnap this guy, get him out of the way so that somebody else could take over the military and order a coup. And they would blame Allende's people for kidnapping General Schneider, as if Allende's people would have any reason to do that. And instead of kidnapping him, the plotters that were paid by the CIA killed him, murdered him. And this is what happened in Chile. And, of course, everybody blamed the right, the coup plotters, and even the United States. The CIA paid $35,000 to the coup plotters to keep their mouths shut about their ties to the U.S. and to help them escape the country so that they would never have to face a court of law. So that was the first phase. And then after Allende was actually inaugurated, when that plot failed, Kissinger pressed Nixon to overrule the State Department that wanted to coexist with Allende and made it clear that we had to make Allende fail so that his model effect wouldn't be a positive model for the world. And the U.S. worked covertly. The CIA funneled hundreds of thousands of dollars into the leading newspaper, anti-Allende newspaper, El Mercurio, so that it could write editorials, print false articles, and basically call for a coup. And we did a lot of covert operations with black propaganda, try and sow dissension within the ranks of the left. Then there were economic policies. We quietly cut off bilateral and multilateral loans to Allende, and he almost got zero money from any of the international lending institutions and no credits from the United States. As soon as Pinochet took power, the spigot of economic support was turned back on. And the United States actually continued to secretly fund El Mercurio and in order so that it could print all sorts of positive articles about Pinochet and the coup and obfuscate and hide the repression that was going on.
I'm Emmanuel Berry speaking with Peter Kornbluh, director of the Chile Documentation Project at the National Security Archive and the author of the Pinochet File. You mentioned briefly there that there were people against this within the U.S. government, that Kissinger's kind of going against his own colleagues in that. And in the re-release of your book, marking the 40th anniversary of the coup this month, there's new documentation of a conversation between Nixon and Kissinger right after the coup. What does that say? What did they talk about in that conversation?
You know, your listeners will be interesting to know that Henry Kissinger secretly taped his phone conversations. And he didn't tell anybody that he was doing this. And so when the president would call him, you had this ironic situation in which Kissinger was secretly taping the call and Nixon was secretly taping the call. In Kissinger's case, he had all of these tapes transcribed, usually on the day that they were made, so that every day's worth of his phone conversations were transcribed by a secretary paid by the U.S. taxpayer. And this created a body of about 30,000 pages of what we call telcons, telephone conversation transcripts. Kissinger took these with him when he left office in early 1977. He claimed they were his private papers when, in fact, the U.S. taxpayer had paid for every single page to be created. So they couldn't be his private papers. And my organization, the National Security Archive, which pushes for less secrecy and more declassification, identified this massive trove of extraordinary historically rich documentation and pressed the U.S. government, including drawing up a lawsuit, to retrieve what were essentially stolen documents. And when we showed our lawsuit to U.S. officials, it was clear that they were going to lose this case, and they made Kissinger give these documents back. And among these documents was the transcript of the very first conversation after the coup that Nixon and Kissinger have, where they congratulate each other. They commiserate over the fact that the liberal media is kind of against the coup. They discuss what the U.S. did. Nixon asked, does our hand show in you know, overthrowing Allende? And Kissinger says, we didn't do it, referring to direct participation in the coup. He says, I mean, we helped them, blank, which I believe is a reference to the CIA, created the conditions as best as possible, which really does sum up in a nutshell what the U.S. role was, to create a coup climate, to stabilize Allende, foment the opposition and instability in which a coup would take place and succeed. And then at the very end, as they're talking about the issue of why they can't just come forward and take credit for this, Kissinger says, you know, in the Eisenhower period, we would be heroes. Now, I just want to tell you, finally, that this document is the one U.S. declassified document that is part of a special exhibit on the 40th anniversary of the coup that has been mounted
in Chile.
In Chile, in the Museum of Human Rights and Memory. They did a special event, a special exhibit called Registros del Golpe, kind of images of the coup, in which they had all sorts of various types of documents and papers and photographs. And they used one U.S. document, and it was this transcript of Nixon and Kissinger patting each other on the back after the coup took place, taking credit for what happened and deciding that they were both heroes. I can guarantee you that the people in Chile looking at this document in the museum didn't see Henry Kissinger or Richard Nixon as a hero.
Peter Kornbluh directs the Cuba Documentation Project and the Chile Documentation Project at the National Security Archive. His book, The Pinochet File, A Declassified Dossier on Atrocity and Accountability, has been reissued in remembrance of the coup's 40th anniversary. Thank you so much for coming in.
It's a pleasure to be here at Michigan State.